have the following apology from Dr. Anton Albert, who was asked to attend to another agent meeting. I think for now that's the only apology that we have. But let's get into the agenda for today's meeting. We are supposed to consider the Labor Relations Amendment Bill as the first item on the agenda. And if at the end of this item we still have time, we will also consider the and adopt the draft minutes of the 26th and 27th March 2013, and also the 2012 committee documents and the committee program for the second term. But we will allocate more time for the briefings on the Labor Relations Amendment Bill, and then if we do have time, we will then consider all those other issues from item 2 from Roman figure 1 to Roman figure 3. So but what we'll do, there was a joint meeting last week between the Portfolio Committee of Labour and the Portfolio Committee of Justice. The briefing I received from the chair was that there were only three committee members, portfolio committee members of Labour, who were present in that meeting. So in whatever briefings that we will receive for the benefit of the committee in its entirety, that briefing will also include the outcomes of the deliberations between the joint committee. For the purpose of this meeting, we will be using the following documents. We'll just establish if we all have all these documents. There is the Portfolio Committee Amendments to LRA, that is this document, which contains the changes, I suppose, which has been deliberated by the committee over time, which I understand that the Department of the Department will be taking us through that document. And then there is also this colored document, or the document with several colors, which is a guide on what has been the contentious issues for deliberations in the portfolio committee, which indicates the status of each of the clauses, which are colored either purple, green, yellow, or pink, and I think there's an indication on what action needs to be done on those section. And then there's a document which is two documents which are a page which are titled Transitional Arrangements, Options, and Transitional Provisions. Those are the documents that will be used for the purpose of this meeting. I hope that all the members of the Portfolio Committee have all those documents. If you have any of those, indicate so that the Secretariat provides with the documents. As Mr. Mkalipi raised himself, suppose he's not. Okay.
So, Chair, I'm not sure what I'm starting with this. Surya State Law Advisor will take the meeting through on A list, not A list, and I'll take the meeting through on the new areas that we discussed, and also the committee on the deliberation between the joint committees of the two.
Okay.
perhaps if we can just guide the committee, it might be too early yet to go to an A-list, because the purpose of the discussion is to committee to take a position to inform the A-list. That is why we brought along this document as a guide for the committee, just to see where clauses need discussion. The issues that our colleagues from the department were speaking to then are the new additional transitional provisions or technical provisions. If the committee members recall, Jefferson, I think 2 meetings ago, a new document was tabled in front of the committee. We were instructed to meet with the department and the state law advisors and to reconcile. And we had those meetings, and this is the reconciled one, to indicate to committee members the yellow provisions had not yet been, the committee had not been engaged with those provisions. Therefore, just maybe to clarify, it may be beneficial to do the A-list after we clean it up and tighten it.
I think that's proper. If we can probably get a briefing on the issues which you were asked to consider, and then we can then take it from there. I suppose that the transitional arrangements, the options which you have been asked before to look into those, and then also the briefing on the joint meetings.
Thank you, Chair. As the Chair indicated, we're dealing with these two documents at the same time. As our colleague, the Legal Services, have indicated, we submitted areas that were omitted by mistake in the actual deal. I think two meetings ago, and the committee took a decision that we should meet with the legal state law advisors, the Parliament of Legal Advisors, to try and see what are the mischief in terms of this, and try and deal with any mischief that could come up with on this issue. Now, in terms of the first area on the transitional arrangement, was that we put about eight proposals of transitional arrangement. We met with the legal advisors, and we agreed to recommend to the committee on this document, up to section 18, up to section 198, including 198A, up to section 198, that has been agreed. Now, the first one is clause 21 of the bill that you have. It's an area that deals with organizational rights. If you look at clause 21 of the bill, made provisions about how organizational rights will be dealt with when the bill comes into operation, the new bill, when it comes into operation. What we proposed was that because there will be disputes that arises and collective arguments that arises prior to the bill coming into play. Now, members will know that the labor market is a very litigious area where parties go to court and challenge each other. And the idea here is to try and give clarity and prevent parties going to court to challenge whether the law applies and now that they have changed, that it applies to disputes that have been referred in the CCMA prior to the date or after the date, even if the law seems to be clear, but parties will see in cases going up to the Constitutional Court purely on whether the law applies or not. And that's the intention of this. And we've agreed with the legal advisors, all of them, that there is a need under section clause 21 of the Act to include another sub-clause A called A, that would 8C, it would be 8C, that will deal with this issue. And it's stating clearly that
22,
my colleague is clause 22. Sorry, Chief, I'm speaking about
clause 1, section 21.
You're sorry, clause 1, section 21. This is my mistake, yeah. And the major issue here is to make it clear that the dispute that arises to the Commission after the commencement of this day, irrespective of whether the collective agreement was concluded prior. No matter the situation where you conclude a collective agreement prior the law coming into place, concluded, there's a dispute on the implementation of that collective agreement. If that dispute arises after the law comes into place, that dispute falls within the new provisions that we're making. And we don't want parties to go and say, no, the collective agreement was agreed before the law comes into place, therefore the law doesn't apply to it. Irrespective of what the collective agreement says, and that's the issue that we're trying to clarify here in clause 21, in section 21, clause 1. And that has been agreed as though between, and the recommendation from the legal representatives and the department is that a committee should agree to add a sub-clause on subsection 8C of section 21 on clause 1. And that's the first thing. I'm not sure that should I go to all those areas where there's an agreement on, and then we debate those areas where there's some disagreement between the issues. Even the disagreement seems not that much after the discussion of this morning. But I'll hold on that one, say if there are no questions on that one, so that we can take the next one.
Okay, can I check if there are any questions in relation to clause 1, section 21? No questions, no comments, thank you.
Thank you. I was just wondering whether you should leave this committee, these clauses that I'm
switch on the...
Actually, these clauses that I'm proposing, I take the liberty to draft A-list as how it will read in the A-list. If the committee maybe wants to read after each clause what it will be at in the A-list, would you have to repeat with after?
I think that would be helpful.
Okay, so then the A-list is amended because subsection 8D on page 3, where the committee has agreed to delete that because it's a repetition. So we'll substitute subsection 8D, which will read now. The A-list will read on page 3 from line 27. Let's just read according to this ball.
Okay.
On page 3 of the ball. Thank you, got it. So it will be on page 3. From line 27, line 27 E,
yep.
There is a subsection 18. So it will be to understand subsection 18 and to substitute a new subsection 18, which will be subsection 18 applies to any collective agreement in respect of which a dispute is referred to the Commission after the commencement of the Labour Relations Amendment Bill 2013, irrespective of whether the collective agreement was concluded prior to the commencement date.
Do we have copies of that?
These are just as a committee and to draft it, but I can make a copy available for the committee afterwards. These are just proposals.
Okay.
I can keep mine for the committee to copy them.
Okay. I think just so that we can then refer to that. So then what we'll do is later on we'll come back to how the new proposal will look like when we all have copies.
Then, Chair, the next one will be clause then 22, section 143, where there's also an agreement on, it's a similar arrangement. The Act, in terms of clause 143, makes a provision for, the provisions for the issues around risk of execution. It makes a provision around making fees of the court equivalent to what it fees and all of those issues that were for debate. Now, we're making it clear also that people deal with arbitration awards. All arbitration awards in terms of these issues, in terms of 123, 1, 4, and 5. Now the court, the proposal that we put in is that this only applies to arbitration awards issued by the CCMA, irrespective of the dispute, when the dispute arises. If the CCMA issue an arbitration award after the commencement of this act, it does not apply only to arbitration awards that are issued if the dispute arises after the act. It doesn't matter when the dispute arises. The section 143 will apply when the CCMA or a bargaining council issued that award after the act. We're trying to close that loop also for parties who go to court and argue that no, this dispute arrived after the law was amended. Therefore, the decision that is made should apply in all provisions of the law. And making it clear that there's no dispute about that. The law says that. Although in terms of the law, it could be, you could argue that it's already there, it's a legal principle because the source applies. But we want to avoid unnecessary disputes in the labor market and make it as clear as possible that everybody understands, because this could cost money, this would cost time for the labor market and the economy. And that's what this area is dealing about. And that's another area where there's been argument between all the legal entities. We've agreed to recommend that if the committee agrees, this can be incorporated, this clause under section 143.
Okay, can I check if Honorable Nyakemba or any other member of the committee has a question or a comment?
Thank you, Chair. You can see me even if you're not looking at me. I want to check something. I do not want to make reference to the Department of Health introduced one tablet, which is a combination of three, by the 1st of April. But it then says, if then in the clinics and hospitals they still have on stock the old tablets, that doesn't mean that those tablets will be thrown away. You still have to use those until they are finished. And then now that will be the beginning of the single tablet. Now, if there are part-hand matters, there are disputes currently whilst we are busy with the amendment. And now, this amendment becomes law. Is it not going to be difficult then? I will not raise legal issues that will be raised in the process, because if in terms of the old law before the amendment, whether it favors the employer or the worker, but as a result of the new amendment, I assume that there will be legal challenges in relation to that. If we then say, just because there's a new law now, so therefore everything that was happening before is null and void. In your discussions, did you look at that? Thank you, sir.
We had a long, long discussion around that area. In this area of section 143, remember this is about an award. Yes, you've got a matter that is started, that started before the law came into operation. Then you've got a matter, this matter finalized after the law came into operation. The system issues you an award. Now let's look at what this section talks about. It talks about a writ of execution issue. Now the issue is you've got an award, you don't comply with this award. It doesn't change anything. You have an award that says pay this amount, don't pay it. Now, this section says that award in dealing with the institution of that award, which is a different process than the hearing that we're talking about, will be done in terms of the new provisions. Now let's look on the issue of the next area that we're talking about is the issue. Presently, the decisions of the CCMA, to be able to enforce them, you must satisfy them. You must go back to the CCMA, satisfy them. The CCMA must take them to the labor court to satisfy them as if they are order of the court. That's what 143 talks about presently. Now, this makes decision of the CCMA as if they are decision, they've been satisfied already. Now, it's all talk about awards that arises after the...
Shabazin, I'm clear. I want to say this edge was a lot of questions.
Okay, are there any other questions? Thank you.
Just to say that is a very good question.
Yeah.
Now, if you continue, Chair.
Yeah, let's quote 145, close to 4.
Clause 145, Chair, talks about... all those issues about operation of the labor court, that parties must apply for a date, the matter to be heard within 6 months, and the judgment must be brought given after hand as soon as possible, and that parties must, the party that wants to review a decision of the labor court must put security, all of those areas, that's all what the fires talk about. It's a new area that has been introduced in the law. Now, the national arrangement about this is that we're just making it clear that this now, you see the difference now here. The difference does not talk to the decision of the court. The difference now, this one talks to the application. It said this section applies to all those cases that were applied in the labor court after this law becomes law. Precisely to deal with the issues that we're talking about now. You've got a case in the labor court already. You have applied it as a case. How do you say now, all those that have applied for a review must now put security, because they've applied before the law becomes a law. Now the law is a law, and this says that it only applies to those cases that have been made in the labor court after the law becomes applicable. That's what you're clarifying. So that you don't have workers coming in, because also workers will come in the department in the CMA and say, well, the law says this company must put security. They have not put the security, only to find out the case arises. They made the application, not the case arises. They made the application in the labor court before the law was in operation. And this is clarifying those issues around those areas. When does it apply?
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions, comments, or should we pass?
Okay. Chair, was there agreement on both sides on this one too? Because I'm making notes as we go along.
Yes, Chair, there was.
Okay, then we, there are no questions, we can be up for
Clause 43, section 198, there was an argument also on this area. Clause 43, 118. It's in the heart of the issue of temporary employment services. And we making it clear that, remember that in 108A and the other section, we've got the provision of 6 months where it defines temporary employment services, if you look at 198A. Now, what this proposal says that this clause will come into operation 6 months after the law is promulgated, leaving it up to that provision of 6 months. I know the honorable members could say there's no argument here to 6 months. Depending on what the argument there, it will mirror that. If the argument there is 12 months, here also it will be 12 months after. What we're trying to say to link it up and make sure that we also create certainty in the labor market and ensure that there's not unnecessary dispute in terms of when this section comes into place and indicating in connection with 198 that you will be deemed to have been protruded by the client on the commencement of the date in order to try and start calculating the 6 months so that you don't have a situation where you come in let's say 3 months before the law comes in and then workers come in and say, well, this my 6 months has ended now because I started 3 months before the law has started and then 3 months into when the law says 6 months there, we're saying that 6 months should be full 6 months. You've got to make sure that there are no disputes about when did I start work before the law comes in and all those issues. And that's what this is trying to do. It's linked at 6 months. If that 6 months change, as I said, to whatever, and this will have to change to link to that. But the issue is that it also trying to bring certainty in the labor market.
Okay, and you indicated that there is agreement on this one. Thank you. Honorable Williams. And
Thanks, Chairperson. I think that we should wait until section 198A, subsection A is agreed upon what that period is before we continue with this section, because they're directly related to one another. So we should just put this on a back burner for the moment until we've discussed the actual period, because I don't think we should move one before we move the other, because they're directly related to one another. So we should just put this on hold for the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I've always said to you, because I'm thinking that something where there is no consensus on, you need to, that need to reflect as such. For me, you should have marked this head or put a question mark, whatever, in order to be understood. But a person who can find yourself or herself in a position of this must know. That's why the same issue, Chair, is don't you think that there's a contradiction in a way if you link section 143 clause 22, section 145, remember 145 clause 24, you made reference if you want to review a matter, then this 198, in my view, from where I'm sitting, it looks like Jefferson, that there's no consistency in terms of the application of the amendments if they are made law. Because yes, 143, you said, if these amendments become law today, then they start to operate. But in section 145 clause 24, because I have already applied for a review, if the law becomes in operation today, I can't link or use the new amendments. Even here on this section 198 clause 43, you for me is the same, unless I didn't understand clearly, sir. I need to be further clarified on that one, because I'm capable of contradictions in terms of application of the amendments when they become law. Because if I were picking and choose, we're choosing this one at the expense of this one. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
If I could just clarify this, as Mr. Felipe indicated, these are not taking away rights or dealing with the implementation of the Act. It's merely to say that certain provisions operate from certain points. So I think, you know, with the question of an arbitration award, for instance, there's the dispute about if someone has brought the case before but the award is afterwards, can that apply? And what we're saying is, in this case, yes, it's appropriate that it should apply. And by doing that, we prevent a fight over that. So it's not affecting any of the rights. It's not affecting the implementation. It's merely saying that it's merely clarifying the application. And so I don't think you need to have that concern.
And the other issue that I need to explain is that this area, I mean, if you read it, it talks about when the issue of written particulars of employment, that's what it's referring to. No, I'm talking about 198. He's correct, the other one that's explaining the issue of the award, but 198 talks to written particulars of employment for those employees who've been controlled by temporary employment services prior to the law comes into operation. And it just re-emphasizes what the BCA says to make sure that those workers within that period of 6 months will have written particulars of employment that comply with the provisions of the Act. Now, my understanding of the question that the member is asking, saying that why in this case I would not say on the first day as we say on the other one. I understand that the question that the member is asking.
So the reason for this is that, if you recall, the section 198A, the new provision for labour brokers, applies to workers earning below the threshold. They will, depending on the transitional provision, get all the new rights. One of the other problems is that there are a lot of high-paid workers who are placed by labour brokers. People earning, you know, R1 million computer consultants. All of those people at the moment are not getting their particulars of employment. So all this is saying is, within 6 months, you must have given people their particulars of employment. This clause is in fact for this reason not particularly tied to the 6 months. And so if you feel the 6 months is too generous, I don't think it would violate the purpose of the Act if you said within 1 month or within 2 months. Because I think we agree it's a pretty bureaucratic thing. So if you were to make this a 1 month or 2 months, I don't think that would cause any harm. But it's mere if it was just 6 months because it had been the figure. But that's I misunderstood the question.
Okay, maybe just before you come in, because you were explaining earlier on is that the provision of 6 months is linked to whatever other agreements that we will reach in relation to the labor brokers.
So what I'm saying is that we put 6 months because we've got 6 months in the law going through in. As Paul said, it's not linked, that is not directly there. You can reduce that, but the 6 months in uniformity purposes in the bill, when we've got different months into the bill, you make it a little bit difficult because every time you use the law, you must check how many months does that say. It's far easier for practitioners out there when they know when the law talks about time, it's more likely to be 6 months than any other thing. That's the only thing I was saying.
Chair, I'm not sure. I thought I might have said what I understood the vision of the member was to say, and I may be wrong, was to say why in some transitional provisions do we say it kicks in immediately, whereas other transitional provisions we say it only kicks in later. And maybe I would just indicate in response to that that I think that's inherent when you make a change in the law, that you have to think about which kind of a change it is, because some changes, and I'll just illustrate it when you talked about cases that are brought. If somebody has brought a review application and it's valid when he brought the review application and his case is pending before court and it's a valid case under the law at all times when he was bringing it, then ordinarily it could be considered to be wrong to introduce an amendment that said actually your case wasn't brought in terms of the law and your case was brought too late because we said these cases have to be brought within a shorter period, something like that. So that kind of a change to law would normally only apply to cases brought after the amendment was introduced. On the other hand, if you're saying once a judgment is given in a case, this is what can happen as a result of the judgment, then you don't need to say cases that have already been brought still can have one kind of a judgment which has certain effects, but cases brought after have judgments with a different kind of effect, because then you would get a very confusing situation. So if I was bringing a case validly and I'm now told the law has changed, so when I get judgment in the case I've brought, the situation will be different from what it would be when I first brought the case. That isn't necessarily going to be unfair or changing my rights. It's really changing the effect. So I suppose without thinking too much ego, it does happen that you need to apply different transitional provisions to different kinds of changes that you're making to the law.
Well, whilst I suppose in the overall, the new laws come into effect immediately unless otherwise stated.
Yeah.
I think there's another way that often is going to the difference. and that is a rule of substance yeah. only applies to things that occur after change, yeah. whereas a rule of procedure can apply to something that has started before. There's a famous case where there was a case arising out of the 1987 strike. The law was changed in 1988 to give a right of appeal to the appellate division. Even though the case relates to the 1987 strike, the judgment was only given in 1989. So in that case, the court actually said, yes, you can appeal that judgment. The irony, of course, was that NUM opposed the fact of the appeal, but in the end won in the High Court. But that is the normal sort of distinction that the courts draw.
Okay.
Now, remember, the following three clauses, these are the clauses that there were disagreement or misunderstanding. We had a lot of discussions. I have not even reported to my colleagues. We had a lot of discussion this morning to try and understand. Now, let me first explain all of them at the same time without reading each. The issue is this, that we have differences on is that if you look on section 198, clause 44, 198A, that's the clause that talks to the issue of the 6 months, this one. Whether it's not going to be 6 months, all of those issues that for a period of not exceeding 6 months, all of those issues that are there. Now, there were differences on this, but we had a discussion this morning. My understanding of the concern raised by our colleagues is that they don't want a situation where if you enter into the fixed term contract, a written agreement, enter into a fixed term contract agreement with my colleague next to me for 6 months. I entered this contract 3 months before the law comes into operation. And the law says that you cannot have a fixed term contract more than 6 months, and it's applicable at the year and the law comes into operation. You are afraid that it might mean that, therefore, my contract must end now, is extended to end another 3 months. That's the first concern. That for contracts entered before the law comes into place, that 6 months, the clause that you put in the interpretation, it seems has got a tendency, if I'm putting it wrong, it got a tendency, it seems to mean that it will extend that period. That's the first problem. It seems to agree with them, they agree also with us on the issue of, first we agree that that's not the intention of the law, that's not what we intend to do. If you enter into an argument before the law comes into place, let's say 2 months before the law comes into place, enter into a fixed term contract or any agreement, let's say 3 months, and then the law comes into play 3 months later, and the law gives says 6 months, it does not mean that it extends your contract by another 3 months. If your contract can end on the date that it was supposed to end, and that we agreed on, and the disagreement is my understanding on whether that the proposal that was put on the table indicates that. That's the first area. I'm not sure whether you want to come in at that part and I'm capturing correctly. Okay? The second part that we seem to have a disagreement on, that the thing we agree on is that our colleagues, the clause here says that when the president signed this law and say this law is applicable from the 1st of December, our colleagues are saying that then in that period, those companies that got the contract that, for example, now had the contract for a year, 1 year, not 6 months, and we entered this contract with my employer a month before the law comes into operation. Now, they agree with us that this law should come, and the effect of this law should come into in 6 months' time. But you and me as an employer should still be open to renegotiate that contract and make sure that it complies with the law. But the application of the law does not change. It still remains 6 months, but with the option of changing. Am I capturing the...
Thank you. I think that what my colleague is trying to explain this correctly, I think the context needs to be understood. I think that if members look at the documents before them, which we gave to members, the one which we've been reading from was the red clauses next to it. That was the transitional provisions as proposed by department. And then there's another document, transitional arrangement options, the 398 caps for A, B, and C on. That is basically the alternative that we were proposing to the department's transitional provisions. When we deadlocked with the department on 198A, if members can look at the page with the read, you can read 198 capital A. It says 198 capital A 9. For the purpose of the section, services of any person that are procured for or provided to a client by a employment service before this amendment is deemed to have been procured on the date when this amendment takes effect. Now, if we can just appreciate that scenario says when we look at temporary employment service applicable to below threshold income earners, everything that we've done before this amendment comes into effect is deemed to have not existed in the form that it was, and the law then undoes that and takes on a new form from the commencement date. I think that is essentially what the member was referring to earlier about when we look at health, we're introducing a new tablet or whatever, and it has to be this transition. We can't just say what happened before is thrown out of the water or thrown out of the window, and that's essentially what we see this transitional provision to be proposing. Our suggestion to the department was we understand what the department is trying to do. What the department is trying to do is to afford the protection of this new amendment to everybody at the time when it comes into effect. But how do we remedy fixed-term contracts or temporary employment services or part-time practices that were in existence before the amendment? Because that's where the evil is, and that's what we're trying to, because when this law comes in, everybody's going to comply. So we technically shouldn't have a problem after the law, but we're trying to clean up what happened in the past. Another suggestion was, when you're looking at transitional provisions, give a window period. Once again, a thumbs-up number, we worked on 6. Members can look at the black page, just the black printing. A thumbs-up number completely, that's not our decision, that's for the members to decide. But what we were saying is within 6 months from the date when this amendment takes effect, a temporary employment service must renegotiate its services with a client to comply, for the purpose of complying. So what this proposal does is it creates this scenario. Or a temporary employment service procured a service for a person, for a client. I was entered into, and let's say my contract is 12 months. But this happened 2 months before this act came into effect, which means by the time this law kicks in, I still have 10 months left. Now, if members are inclined to agree to the 6 months as opposed in the bill, which once again the 6 months is not determined, but let's assume for this morning's exercise that the 6 months is considered to be the go-ahead, then it means within 6 months, after this law, my contract needs to be renegotiated. It means that I have 10 months after the commencement date. But within that 6 months, the temporary employment service needs to know that my contract complies with this law. So even though it may be detrimental to both a client and employee, there's a window period where we can negotiate on the best way forward. If we take the department suggestion in 198, we just deem this contract to commence on the date of the amendment, it will have this effect. The same contract for a year entered into 2 months before the commencement of the Act. On the date of commencement, it means the service is procured anew, which means my contract then runs anew from the commencement date. And that's not what is intended. The department wants to ensure that contracts are limited in line with this legislation. And because it is a law of general application, we don't know how these contracts are used in every sector in industry. We cannot put out a law and say it's deemed from this day to commence. In the retail sector, we had Mr. Price. We don't know how this is going to affect the operations. And that is why we propose that if we keep this window period, once in a number that the month, number that committee can decide on, if you allow that window period for parties to sit down and to say, look, our operations require this, but then at least the parties have that freedom to align the employment practices with the amendment. And that is where the proposal is different. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Well,
I think it was
just to put, if I may, in the context of the prior discussion, on the face of it, it does seem that these changes introduce a change of substance rather than procedure, so that you do have a potential problem that people who concluded contractual arrangements on a proper understanding of the law, validly interpreted at the time, are going to be told that there's a change in the law that affects the bargain that they've done. And I understand that's the concern that the committee's legal advisors are raising. Just from my own perspective, I haven't had a chance to talk to the department, but will suggest that I talk first. It may be appropriate to accommodate that, but I would have a concern that if you simply have a transitional provision which says you must renegotiate, there of course is a serious risk that if that negotiation doesn't produce agreement, what then happens? So if, for example, it's maybe not so difficult where a client and a labour broker are renegotiating, but if, for example, in the later provisions, the employer needs to renegotiate with workers who have been engaged over a particular, or rather the client, the employing entity needs to renegotiate. Well, actually, I suppose it's not going to renegotiate with its own staff. But the simple point is these contractual arrangements are going to be affected by this change, and they may have been concluded differently if the parties knew what the law was at the time they concluded them. So I think that, you know, I'll let the department and Paul Benjamin speak about whether or not the department proposals create more certainty. But it seems to me that you could create the same certainty by pursuing the department's proposed changes, provided you simply say that nothing precludes the parties from renegotiating, and it depends which one you put first. But everybody needs to know 6 months later where they stand. I mean, that's, I think, a very important point, that you can have legislative certainty.
Mr. Chair, if I could just add to that. The one issue is the issue of a window period. Now, the difficulty with the window period here is that these are sections that automatically have window periods. If you recall the structure of the amendment, it says labour brokers can hire people, and after 6 months, they become employees, they are deemed to be employees of the client. With regard to fixed-term contracts, it basically allows a fixed-term contract without justification for a period of 6 months. After 6 months, certain rights accrue. Same with part-time workers. There's exclusion for people employed for less than 6 months. So all of those clauses have a built-in window period in which the employee doesn't acquire any additional rights. So the employee, for the first 6 months, the employee hired by the labour broker doesn't have the protection against security of employment, that the employee doesn't have the protection of the quality of wages. So that's why I think the additional window theory is a problem. I think to some extent the difference is one of interpretation. This clause does not affect the validity of contracts concluded beforehand. All it says is, for the purposes of this section, for the purposes of determining when people get rights under 198A, 198B, 198C, a person hired before is assumed to be in the same position as a person hired on the first day the act comes into effect. That's really all it's saying. So let's take a person who, if there's a 6 month contract entered 3 months before it's going to extend, they're going to end 3 months afterwards. This act has no effect on that, because that contract was for 6 months. This is not affecting the period. So it may just be that there's a difference in wording there. But all we're saying is, when you're determining what rights people get under 198A, 198B, 198C, you get two categories of people. People hired on the first day, to include all those people hired in the past, and people hired in the future. Otherwise, if you don't go the route of which Parliament is suggesting, in principle, you're going to get the anomalous position where people hired earlier have, in the 8th, 9th, 10th month of the application of this Act, less rights than people hired afterwards. And that you have to avoid. That's an unconscionable inequality. I agree with my colleague Mr. Chadu, who represents, who was the booster draft in the Netlife process, that you can't go about this by putting on an obligation to negotiate. Because what happens if the negotiation fails? The obligation is obviously for the employer to comply. It must be that. And whether you delay that. I just want to look at the wording, but I think this committee cannot approve a situation where people hired before effectively have less rights in the first year of the operation of the Act. That's one, it's unconstitutional, I think, and two, it's going to cause immense political problems, because it means in 9 months after laws is in effect, the people hired by labour brokers last year are still going to be without their rights. I just want to say that the session is not intended to vitiate existing rights. And that's why it starts, and maybe we can look at a tighter wording, but it's only saying when do people get the rights. So we can put in clauses so that, it doesn't affect existing rights and blah, blah, blah. Something one can put in a clause by that type. But the only purpose is to say that no one will acquire the rights under 198 A, B and C more than 6 months after the cut-off date. And that, I think, is absolutely consistent with the Act and there's an inverted clause. And I think that the Department hasn't failed to put up a clear vision of that, then we can look at the tightening of the word. But I think, in principle, that's what the transitional provision should say.
I still wonder, if we can debate what is the problem more than the clauses themselves. We'll come later to that. When I was having a discussion with our colleagues, they raised two issues in all of these clauses. They raised two issues. They said they don't want a situation where in the fixed-term contract arrangement, because this clause deals with three things, fixed-term, temporary employment, and part-time. All of them talk to 6 months. They said fixed-term contract and the temporary employment, they don't want a situation of somebody who enter into a contract before the law comes into play. I made an example of this, and that contract is for 6 months. And they already spent 3 months on a fixed-term contract. A contract would have ended 3 months later, but the law comes into place, talks to 6 months. That 6 months should not have the effect of extending that contract now by another 3 months. That's what they're saying to me. First, and we agree with that. This provision should flip that what the invention is giving. Let's debate it as us, but it should not be to extend those contracts. And I ask them questions, are they saying on the other end, are they saying if I enter into a contract before 6 months, before the law comes into operation, as a temporal employment, I'm employed by a temporal employer, a labor broker, before, does that mean now that I must get 6 months and another 6 months to adjust? What are they saying exactly? If they say to us, no, your adjustment must be made within that 6 months, then we don't have a problem. Let's see what is it. As long as, but if they're saying that adjustment, you should have time to make it in 10 months, in 11 months, then that's a different issue. That's, for me, the first issue. You can agree there. Is it the intention to extend the 6 months for those who have entered into a contract before 2008. Are we on a situation of people who at 9 months, at 12 months, because they entered into an agreement before this law came into operation, and it could be even 15 years, let's say, assume they entered into a contract for 15 years, for 15 years they still remain, is that a scenario? My understanding of this morning when we were debating with them, they said that's not what they are saying. They also agree that at 6 months, all the contracts should be meeting the requirements of the law. If that's what they are saying, then let's see, I mean, whether this does it, because then there's no disagreement between us. The only disagreement comes in if we say, after this law comes into place, that the situation of people employed by labor broker at 12 months, and at 13 months, and 14 months, if that's what they are saying. I don't understand if that's what they are saying. That's why I said, yeah, it seems as if we might have misunderstanding of the clauses that are on the table, but we're saying the same thing. When they were explaining to me, they were saying that they are not saying that the 6 months must be extended. They say everybody will come in at the 6 months. What happens between when the law comes in and that 6 months, the negotiations that come in there, committee are so that, but if the effect of this proposal as we speak it means that it could be 2 years after this law is in operation and we still have people working on fixed term contract for 7 and 8 months who are falling within that category. It will still have people working for labor brokers. We think that's not the policy that's what we introduced. That's not what we said. It will be very disastrous for the labor market and for workers who are employed in those situations. Now, for me, if that can be explained, how we agree whether if the committee says that's what, if they say that's what, then we should capture, then we try and see whether, where do we reach other in terms of this? Because for me, I think this captures what they are saying. But if it means kickering the provision to make sure that it's clear, that's not here or there. But if it means extending that period, if their proposal, it means extending that period, then there's something else. For me, that's what's not clear.
What we, if you still want some time, I'll give you some time, but what we ultimately, if after the two of you agree, what we ultimately have to decide on is X month, and then once we've decided X month, then we'll have to determine whether that X month comes into effect immediately or whether that X month would be subjected to renegotiations between the parties, which is I think the second or the different proposal that I'm hearing from you. Irrespective of what would have happened anyway after the determination of the X month. So I think that's where the deliberations will then have to focus on. So the point is you outlaw the death penalty and then you then say that law will come into effect 6 months after the passing of the legislation, and then what happens in the 6 months? Do you kill the people who were on the death row, or do you say they've got to renegotiate with the state? You know, I don't know if that's a proper example to give. Okay, I'll come through. Let me just, yeah.
Taking into account what you want to support in parliamentary law advice, I think maybe it's another option to consider a combination of the two, because this, to have a transitional period to provide for that negotiation, but like as it was said earlier, we know that there's a power imbalance between employees and employees, and not all employees will have the ability to renegotiate their contracts on on equitable and more favorable terms. So I think maybe another option to consider would be to provide for a renegotiation and set a transitional period of 6 months, and failing that, it would have this as a default position to make like 6 months after the date of the commencement of the land, it's, you know, the cut-off time, something like that. So to provide a transitional period, and failing that, if employers are not able to come to some agreement, then this would be the default position. Maybe that's something to consider, thank you.
Okay. Can I allow honourable members to interact with, ask questions, make comments? You have had your hands for quite some time, and honourable Kanara.
Okay.
Honourable Williams. I didn't want two Williams speaking one after the other. That's a power imbalance.
As the honourable speaker will say, one Williams at a time. Thank you, Chair. Let me see if I can muddy the waters a little bit more. The point of departure generally, with the, especially in the section, is that we are dealing here with vulnerable workers, you know, labour brokers, these evil guys with horns and stuff like that, and that's probably okay and stuff. However, I am this guy who has this 12-month contract with this generous conditions, and 2 months into this thing, the law comes in, and I'm happy, and I'm actually looking forward. I've already planned for this 12 months of this endowment that I have, and then somehow, because I'm 8 months into my contract, the law comes in, and I'm going to be zapped. I'm sure I won't like that, so I think I'm just throwing it into the pot for the lawyers to grapple with that one.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Okay. Look, I really felt comfortable with Mr. Mkhlebe's approach today. Let us not go into what the equal clause say. My understanding is that the intention of this is to say we all agree about what an amendment should be. We all agree that this should be an amendment to the Labour Relations Act. The issue is that there are problems which arise in terms of implementation. But what is very clear is that we are saying, in order for this particular amendment to be effective, we need sometimes to sort out some problems which arises as well. So if we agree that we give everybody 6 months after the law has been passed to abide by the law, I think that's really the intention. Say we give you some time to sort out whatever problem. It becomes problematic when you start wanting to say others must have 6 months, others 12 months, others 18 months. I mean, if I take Honorable Mdaw's example, that probably that would be the best labor broker he's talking about. Who will be quite an exception to the rule. But the issue is, we have got to agree in principle to say the legal people must formulate this in such a way that we then have got a deadline on which everybody must abide by the law. I think that was the intention there. That's why we were talking about deemed, and they were trying to talk about the 6 months. So we have got to find a way in which it is worded in such a way that we agree that this should be the deadline by which everybody should be fully in line at that time.
Thanks, Jefferson. I think that we're not talking about any time period of year at all with regard to the 6 months. This section 198A, clause 44, 198B, clause 44, and 198C on the same clause, they're talking about when the Act comes into effect. And it says that the Act comes, person employed before the Act comes into effect, when that Act does come into effect, that's when it deems that that person has been employed. So I don't think that we should confuse this with a 6-month period, because we don't even know what that period is going to be yet. So it could be much less than 6 months. In fact, it probably will be much less than 6 months, and I think that we should stop talking about 6 months, because it's never going to be 6 months. But in connection with this, what we're talking about now, my question is, I think that we should adopt this, because at some point we can't, especially these last three on this transitional provisions, where we've got the red in clauses, with that back document, not the one without any red on it, because of the fact that we need to have a situation where on the day that the act is adopted, that is, the employee will be recognized as being employed from that date. So that's why we must adopt that, because we mustn't keep talking about the 6 months. But every time we talk about any clauses, people are talking, I'm not talking about, we shouldn't even talk about 3 months or 0 months or whatever. We should talk about no months, because it's confusing everybody. But I think we should start realizing that 6 months will be less than that when the act is passed. X months.
Thank you,
sir. I think the two teams, they are making things difficult for us as members. I was asking myself, when did the last discuss about these issues? The issue for last week, it was in relation to certain amendments within the amendments that were affecting the constitution and were held to be bounced with the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, hence that joint portfolio committee. It was for specific areas. Now, because if this is the pace, 2013, we will not realize these amendments. Because for me, it's like now, we are mediators that demands from the parliamentary legal advisors and other demands that we look at which demand is reasonable. Because for me, the different interpretations in legal terms is things that you need to sort out before coming here. Because this issue of you always come here with different interpretations or legal terms on how things are supposed to be, in a way it doesn't help us. But that doesn't mean that we don't have minds to think how things are supposed to be. Because I don't have to say this one is better than this one, no, this one is better than that one. But the key issue here is that we are amending some of the sections and clauses that we are amending are within the existing law. And we want to make it better than it is. I think that's my understanding of why do we have to amend. We are making the current law to be better. That's why Honorable Williams doesn't want to hear anything that has to do with 6 months. And I'm not comfortable with that also. But it's fine, these are amendments. We're not yet taking a decision. We will take a decision at the end of the day. So my proposal, Chair, is that because Khalid is saying you had discussions this morning.
Started yesterday.
Thank you very much. Then for me, Chair, I will then say, we have you. You put your proposals. How would you like to see the amendments to be in terms of Section 198, A, B, and C? And now it's up to us now, how do we apply our minds in relation to this? Because this deliberation, in my view, Chair, is not to say this is what we agree on, but it's to clarify the thinking that the two parties are presenting now, in order for us, when we make a decision, we know that these were the same things that were presented to us. What is it that we change now would matter in amending the law? Because obviously, you will agree to nothing. Because the caliphate doesn't want this to be deemed, you want to negotiate. So it's fine. It's fine. We want to check themselves, what are the meanings of these two. But we'll apply our mind in terms of what we think will make the signal to be better. For the parallel workers, as Honorable Muta raised earlier. Thank you, John.
Okay, Honorable Frustrated.
Thank you. Chairperson, I must admit, I think we're not making the law clear by what we're doing here. Can I just take you back to the municipal law? My vision is, and please quote, stop me immediately if I'm quoting from a completely irrelevant document. In the original law, there are certain clauses, clause 19, certain organizational rights of trade union to council, 20, organizational rights to collective agreements, 21, exercise of rights conferred by this part. Now, remember, it's on 21 that we now want to bring in certain additional clauses. And then 22 deals with, if we just go down, with the disputes. 22 disputes about organizational rights. One question is that this 21, and we will want to fit in additional paragraphs between 21 and 22. This is where the A, B, C, and D comes. My first question is, shouldn't this actually come in under 22, where the law deals with disputes? That's the first one. The second one is, you're referring to changes in terms of temporary employment services, etc., which I don't quite see in this part. Here it is about, as I read it, and again, please stop me immediately if I'm completely off track. But here what I'm saying is, it's about an employer and the trade union, the recognition of collective agreements that they have negotiated in the past. So please help me, because I feel lost in this whole thing. Have I got the wrong Countries Labour Relations Act in front of me? Because sometimes I think, no, it must be the right one, because it's the first and causes eight. And so. But it's just as if we're really mixing up. It's terribly.
I think what we're discussing now is with the assumption that the employee is not necessarily represented by a trade union, and that the discussion does not assume that I think in relation to what we are discussing right now, but what we do, unless if you want to speak, and then we then able to determine a way forward and what we must do. Yeah.
Thank you, Len. I think the amendment that he is referring to is the one that we have already dealt with, that has to do with organizational rights. Because Section 21, Section 22 is about disputes that arise as a result of organizational rights. I think we have dealt with that. Maybe the issue of negotiate comes as a proposal when we are dealing with the amendments from Section 198. Remember, there's 198 Act currently that does not have time frames in terms of when and how are you supposed to employ workers for the client as a temporary employment service. So I think this negotiate that I think it might have taken my colleague back to 21. We're not at 21. One on 198 amendments as we speak now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. I want to make a proposal, and hopefully we'll take that into. And my proposal is that, and I think that has been the case even in the past. My proposal is that we give the department and the parliamentary legal advisors some time to look at this. This does not obviously preclude the fact that we will obviously look into it and all of that, whatever the outcome of that discussion. If at the end of the discussion there is still no agreement, that's fine. Bring it back and then let's look at what the two positions are, and then we'll then as parties have a discussion, then see how what kind of a way forward we come up with. Because I think earlier on, before we started the meeting, I assumed that there was an agreement. In fact, that's the indication I got. So I think that's what gives me some hope that you can agree on a wording which can be presented to the committee for further deliberations. Is that fine? Is that accepted? Okay. You have a few minutes to...
Thank you, Chair. I just needed to clarify, adding on to the position going forward. I think just looking at 198, one thing that we could maybe consider as a legal team, we never thought of this yesterday, if we're looking at protecting the rights to everybody at commencement date of this legislation, then maybe what we should consider is taking 198, all the subsections, and splitting it just like we introduced the different transitional provisions for different sections and subsections and how it will apply. For instance, if we look at, let's say, 198, capital A4, the termination by a test of an employee's assignment to a client for the purpose of avoiding the transition is a dismissal. That's something that you want to afford to everybody at the date when this legislation kicks in. So if we, for instance, would create 4(1), and then 4(2) stating notwithstanding the dates of contracting or B or services being procured, this sub-1 applies to all persons at date of commencement. So we can maybe look at then breaking it up so we achieve the effect, and not just the blanket prohibition of saying all contracts are deemed from the date, because that is a bigger implication than what we're trying to achieve as a committee to afford the protection to everybody. I think that is, and we would just have to sit and tweak these subclauses 44, 198, capital A, B, and C, and then just to break it down on all those clauses to see what we can apply, what we can't, and then to craft a way forward. I think that would possibly be amenable to the department and to the state board, I'm not sure.
Chair, we agreed the proposal that you put, that let's break our head before the next meeting if we are able to solve it. And if we are not, we'll come back. And, because it's difficult to respond on the issue.
What we want to do in the next meeting is to start with the deliberations. It may be a bit difficult to start with this and then get into. So, I was thinking about, especially because there is something on the table, even if we could probably have 10 or so minutes and then you take that into consideration, or would you need some more time for that kind of a discussion? 15 minutes, yeah. I don't know.
Isn't it possible for whoever's presenting to just give us on the screen somewhere what they are referring to, etc. Quite frankly, for this last hour, I've been trying here with papers that have been distributed just now, some that I found in my pigeonhole and some, and I feel completely lost.
Well, somebody's coming just to what we're looking at is this document.
But are we looking at the top of that document or are we...
No, we're looking at section 198 A, B, and C. And this document, so these two documents, and obviously in reference to what is in the bill, in the amendment bill. So, 10-15 minutes, and then we come back. So, what we're agreeing is we keeping the parliamentary legal advice, Mr. Honorable Van der Westhuizen, to look at how we get out of this impasse on section 198 A, B and C, and see if we can't get a firm proposal from them that we can then consider for discussion. So which means we will come back at 25 past 11. We'll have coffee. Yeah. Nothing strong. The only strong thing was the formulation. We want to consider doing something else on the agenda. Want to consider the minutes. If you're not, are you done? Okay.
How come you can do this thing so fast when you had all it? The happening is to do this. And then all of a sudden there's this happening in the you like a friend.
Okay, thank you very much. We are now resuming with our meeting.
So I think a good part is that I think we have a meeting of the mind on the issue. But we don't have a document to give in terms of the issue. That document, I ask my colleague just take me through on the area. What is it that you say, Mr. Devin?
Just for the record, I'm also now in the center.
Now we are lost. We are lost. Ms. Williams?
Okay, thanks. I'm glad to hear we are all at Eden, as I say. The first one would be on page 22 in the bowl. You get page 22 in the bowl, after line 8. We're looking at adding a subsection 9. And subsection 9 would have the two subsections that proposed by Mrs. Gordon. The first one would be
Are we all on the same page? Are we all on the same page? No, we're on the...
Give us the background.
On the original, on this document? Oh, you're on that one? Oh, electronically, okay.
Page 22? If you look at the new proposed subsection 198A, we're looking at adding a subsection right to the end of that new paragraph 198A. And we're looking at making it to read something like that includes contemplated in subsection 2, workplace for the client by a temporary employment service contemplated in section 198.1 before the commencement of the Labour Relations Amendment Act, acquired the right in subsection 3 and 5 within six months from the date of the commencement of the said act. That should be that proposed. And then we'd have another paragraph also under 198A, which would be...
Can you just reflect, so there's a proposal for a new subsection 9.
Yes.
If you can just read it again, the new proposal.
Okay, sure. Yeah. What I'll do is I'll go back and also craft it and I'll email it to the committee so the committee can consider it before the next meeting.
Okay.
So BA subsection 9, we have two paragraphs, paragraph A and paragraph B. The first paragraph would read, employees contemplated in subsection 2 was placed with a client by a temporary employment service contemplated in section 198.1 before the commencement of the Labour Relations Amendment Act of 2013 acquires the rights in subsection 3 and 5 with effect from X months as from the date of the commencement of the said act.
Okay. So that's A.
Yes.
Okay. That's 9A.
Yes.
So we're going to 9B.
Yes. Okay. Subsection 4 applies to persons procured for or provides to a client. Somebody was touching on my notes, I just got it. Subsection 4 applies to persons procured for or provides for persons before the commencement. What's it? Sorry, someone was catching my notes. No, that's someone's notes. Yeah. So substitution applies at a date of commencement. That's basically what we wanted to say of the Labour Relations Amendment Act. Yeah, so the language should be just worded nicely to include whatever subsection 4 says. But that will apply as from the date of commencement of the Labour Relations Act 2013. Yeah, that's what it says in
the talks to dismiss our refusal to undermine the application of this action. That dispute will, if the law says it's unfair for you to be dismissed for that, therefore you will immediately take up a case that does not stand to law. That's what it's trying to say. And what we've done, we've broken down that section. It says, what are the sections that we think you can have the rights in 6 months? What are the sections? X month. What are the sections that you must have the rights in X month, and what are the sections that you must have immediate when the act comes to play? And those actions where it's a procedure, something like a procedure with giving 6 months, those actions where it's an unfair, like this one, the procedure is immediately. If you sit there, something immediately. That's what it does.
Okay. I think what it means is that we have a draft for the committee to consider, which you will put it out and then circulate. I don't know if there are any questions on that or any comments. X months, if you omit the N, it's X months. So. Honourable Williams, Honourable Mutau, and Honourable Van der Westhuizen in that order.
Chairperson, I just want to make sure that all of our legal team have reached consensus or have come up with one proposal here. Because at our next meeting, I don't want to have another three documents from you confusing us. Also, the intent of these proposals, if possible, you can put them underneath the clauses, so that we have an understanding, so there's no question about what the intent of it is, or the object of it is, the objective of these proposals, so that when you present us with these documents, email them to us, these clauses, it can say section 198A, section 9, and then tell us what the proposal of the clause will be, and then underneath it, you can write there what it does, like you just explained to us now about the, if somebody's trying to dismiss somebody, you know, if we can have that as well, so we can get a clearer picture of exactly what you're going for here. Thank you.
Just for clarity, actually, I didn't hear it, so I assume it's gone. We are no longer deeming anything on 198.95.
You didn't hear? Oh.
Yes, they didn't say, oh sorry, they didn't mention DIM in the little draft they had, so I'm assuming that the dimming has been dealt with.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I just have to make sure.
Honourable
I didn't propose that they were just agreeing on what they're going to recirculate to us before. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Are we all happy? Okay, thank you. So,
Chairperson, I just want to remind you of that joint meeting we had with the judicial.
Yes. We're going to get a briefing on that just now, so that we're all on par. So now we're done with the transitional provision.
No, the other two.
Oh. Okay.
But the principle is the same also. If you agree, it's the same principle, we've done the same thing, and it's going to be the same kind of formulation that we talk about, and we'll go straight on those areas where there are problems. That's what's called.
Okay. Yes. Are we all happy with that? Mutatis mutandis. Okay, thank you. I think what we'll do is to get the person from the joint meeting. If we can get that, yeah.
Those are the issues that overlap with the justice ball. So just for ease of reference for the clause numbers, it's the blue colored part on the document. Thank you.
Okay.
But, all the other clauses in the blue column, it was agreed, it's fortunately in the board, that all those clauses are going to be rejected by the court because they are covered in the Supreme Court. That's not an issue of those, all of those clauses, except clause 31, which was in the, by the last meeting not yet finalized, and clause 33. All others of the rules were dealt with, and it was agreed that the court was going to be rejected because the Supreme Court did not change it. And we were asked to go and have a joint meeting, and the committee had a joint meeting with the justice to deal with 31 and 33. If those are the only ones that really deal with the but the information is just to remember that though it was a great, but it's enough that the people are continuing to do and they're happy with the way that they are. Now on clause 81, there were two issues there in clause 81, which was, with me two things there. The first one, constituents of the settlement feel were of the view that it's far better on things that deal with the labor court because it's the labor market. That the Department of Labor being responsible for that. The present law gives the Department of Justice, the Minister of Justice, that authority. That's what the law says. And we made the proposal in the bill that says that in determining the rules of court, the Minister of Labor, acting on advice of NEDLAG, would appoint Rosemont. That's the effect of what we were proposing. And that the Rosemont will meet every 2 years. That's what we propose. Justice said, no, you can't remove the Minister of Justice there. It's the responsibility of the Minister of Justice. The Minister of Justice has got constitutional powers to see the functioning of the courts and all of that. And after discussion with Justice, we agreed. And Justice said, look, they don't have a problem with the new provision that we put in that says that the rules board must meet every 2 years. They don't have a problem with that. We can have it in the bill. They only got a problem with saying that in the appointment of rules board committee members, the triggering of the rules board, it must be done by the Minister of Labour in conjunction with NEDLAG. They say it should remain with Minister of Justice in conjunction with NEDLAG. And that's what we agreed first as officials when we had a discussion. And well, we leave it as it is because that's what's in the end, in any case. And that's what we put in the joint committee. And that was accepted by the joint committee. That's close. I'm sure there are any questions on that before I take the next one.
No.
Therefore, honestly, the only change is going to be on 31A will reject the change that we're making there that takes out the Minister of Justice. such a decision of the court, and therefore the state of court will remain and will add the last part, which is 11, that one will remain and will come in as a new provision in the Act. On 33, we were making a change, adding. 33 talks about who can act as a judge of the Labour Appeal Court. And presently the law says only High Court judges. And we made a proposal in the amendment to include Labour Court judges there. And there was an indication that, look, there's a problem with this. We had a discussion with the officials in justice. They said that they see no problem with the provision. They are happy with it. There's no issue here. And it went to the committee, and the committee also said, no, there's no issue here. That change that we're making is in line with what the Supreme Court is saying anyway. Even if they say, I mean, they have given that it's even overtaken by events, because that's what the Supreme Court is saying. It's just for re-emphasize here so that it's clear. Therefore, that decision will remain as it is. There's no change there. Therefore, the two errors that we agreed on that were issues, only one that will change is the first one. There was also, initially, before we went in, there was an issue about the issue whether can we ask judges to make their decision quicker. That process, there was a debate about that, but it was not in the letter from justice as an issue. When it came back, the chair of justice said, no, they don't have a problem with that. That's the essence of labor market and the labor law, is that it's got to be speed dispute resolution, therefore they support that. Therefore, it was not an issue. Although it was debated there, it was not supposed to be debated, because it was not an issue to be debated, because it was solved before the meeting. But you know, when you've got 6-7 lawyers in the room, things don't come crop up. There was a heated debate. There on this issue, but ultimately they agree that now it's an issue that the portfolio committee, if it wants it, can manage on this one. Therefore, we think that we have the fruitful meeting on that day. There's not much that will change. That committee has agreed with the essence of what we're proposing, except that procedural issue of which minister was triggering. For us, it's not here nor there.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions, comments, additions? Nothing, thank you. So that's the end of the briefing on the forum. What I want us to do now...
Thank you. And also the chairperson from the Labour Portfolio Committee other days was instructed us to affect those changes to the A-list. So the draft A-list, which is officially before the committee, affects that change, the rejection of clause 31A.
Yes. Yeah. What I want us to do very quickly so that we still have some time to consider the minutes and other documents for the meeting. I think for purposes of preparing ourselves for the deliberations, just to quickly take us through what are the issues on the A-list. We will not have a discussion on that unless it is an agent question for clarity. We can take that. Yeah. So it's this document and this document. The one you circulated this morning?
No, the one I circulated this morning, 64 pounds, is to indicate to members the discussion we had yesterday with the department regarding the transitional provision. But after the discussion we had this morning, they will obviously change how we're going to word it.
Okay.
Yeah, but this morning one was just for the information purposes from the discussions we had yesterday.
Okay.
That was the decision. So obviously that will change now.
Okay. Alright.
The one I emailed to Zurani, that's the official A-list which is before the committee.
This one. This one that's not, that doesn't have your name and surname.
Yes,
drafted 22 April 2013, Soraya Williams. That's not the one.
Oh, no, the one I...
This one, we asked you to circulate it because you were
that discussion, yesterday's discussion, is reflected in that one.
Okay. Okay, can we quickly number those just for our own reference?
Is it whether the one where the proposed working capital by all
yes,
the
that's one.
So low?
Yes.
That's 25.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can we number that, starting with the front page being page 1, 2, and we have a total of 8 pages, so if you can just take us through that. Are we all on the same document? Because this is now a document, it's not on a page. So if you are lost, you will be completely lost. But not be able to recover you.
So the first one that the committee instructed us to do was the reference to section 27 in section 1 of the Act. That is section, it was changed to refer to section 27 of the Interim Constitution, and we changed to section 23 to reflect the current constitution. Okay. The clause 1, it was just amendment regarding to omit engage and to substitute employees. That was a decision taken by the committee, and that was done throughout the bill. So wherever we see to omit engage, we substitute it with employees. On page 3, from 27, that's under clause 1 of the bill. Okay. We omitted subsection 18 because it was a repetition of subsections A to C. So that was omitted. In clause 3 on page 4 in 946, we omitted engage and substituted employed. Clause 17, which is on page 12 of the bill. Okay. We omitted on page 12 in 946, we omitted a first charge against the assets and the substituted with will be paid as an expense. On page 12, from line 28, we omitted of the administrator or any person referred to in subsection 1, and we substituted with by the trade union, comma, employed organization or registrar. Okay. On clause 23, we basically, it's just the drafting, if the full stop was underlined, so we're not underlining the full stop at the end of line 55 on page 13. And then in clause 25, which is on page 14, if you look at page 14 in 29, so we'll get four times, the word four times. If we go to clause 27, that clause is rejected because it's been passed the Superior Court of. The clause 28 was also rejected as agreed by the committee because of the notification of the Superior Court of. Clause 31 of the bill, we omitted, we rejected the subsection, paragraph A, clause 31A, as Mr. Calipier just explained, as a result of the joint session we had with the Chancellor's Portfolio Committee. So that provision is rejected. Clause 34 is rejected, because that's in the Superior Court bill, which was passed. Clause 55, which is on page 17, in line 42, we were written engaged under and we substituted with employed in terms of. Clause 58 was rejected. And then the committee requested us, together with the department, to look at the proposed alternative to Clause 58. And the ones which are printed in grey, that hasn't been discussed by the committee, but that's the proposed alternative to Clause 38. The alternative option which the committee has not discussed as yet. So I don't know if the committee wants to discuss it now.
Okay.
So that in the grey has not yet been discussed by the committee. Clause 43. Which is on page 21, in line 2, to omit assigned and substituted with whose service is procured for or provided, and page 21, in line 6, to omit services and substituted with the word service. Clause 44, on page 21, in line 29, after the word fiction, to insert A, and then also in line 21, to omit services and to substitute service. The same amendment goes to line 35, which we did the same thing. And in line 42, also on page 21, so on page 21, in line 42 we've got, referred to in subsection 2. We clarified that in line 42, which refers in subsection 2, on page 21 in line 44. After performing, we inserted A on page 21, in line 44, to omit services and substitute with service. And then the same was applied to line 45 and 46. We need omitted services in the plural and substituted with the singular. The clauses on page 21 and page 22, they basically, page 21, 22 and 23, they technically all the same ones where we omitted the word engaged and we substituted with the word employed. And then we, on page 21 and 49, we omitted assignment and just substitute with service. Okay. And then we go to page 23, 94. We voted on and we substituted in terms of, and the same we did to page 23, line 8, as well as line 11. Okay. And then on page 24, on page, from line 18, we voted paragraph E and we substituted with the following paragraph. Any other criteria of a similar nature and such reason is not prohibited by section 6, subsection 1 of the Employment Equity Act, 1998, Act number 55 of 1998. And then clause 48, next clause, which is on page 25, we inserted the word electronic mail. So what it means, when you serve, you can also send by electronic mail. Now, sorry? Yes, yeah. Yeah, there's been a court judgment where the court allows the the plaintiff to serve documents via Facebook, because some people, you can't find them, or they refuse to collect the letters or any form of service, but they still want to advertise on Facebook, so they accept it in that case that you can serve via Facebook. I think there's lots of people searching Facebook accounts. The next one would be a new clause, which would be the amendment of the long title. The long title of principal act is hereby amended by the substitution of section 27, where we substituted with section 23 to provide for the new constitution, because the other one affected the inter constitution. Clause 50, we basically amended to read that the other statutes grammatical, the way we changed the grammatical, because clause 50, the short title, only has one clause, one section. So we split it into two subsections. So the first one would read, the act is called the Labor Relations Amendment Act, 2012, but obviously when the act is passed, whichever year they'll change back automatically to that year, which would be 2013, hopefully. And then it comes into operation on the date fixed by the President by proclamation in the Government Gazette. Subsection 2 would be notwithstanding subsection 1, the coming into operation of section 198.4.8 is suspended until the date when the applicable legislation contemplated in that section, which is section 198.4.8, enters into force. And that concludes the
Okay. What we... Well, that's clear.
Sorry, Jim, I could just add the aims that Israel will use in the moment with things that the committee said that we were empowered to lead to the aims. But I also want to raise from members that one thing that still needs to also be the policy decision, particularly on rules 44 to 6 months. I know members said that they would deliberate on that issue, but just to flag that as well, that the decision wasn't taken on the months, and that's also something that members still need to consider, even though it's not in the A list.
I'm a bit confused, Chairperson. This is the A list, right? So these are the things that we've considered, but they've put in stuff here that we've never even seen before. So I'd like to know, is that this stuff that's replacing clause about the dismissing of people that earn above the threshold? We haven't discussed that before. But so why is it in the A list? When I've been told that the A list is only stuff that we've discussed and then we move through that. It's on page 5 of this document. There's no page on this, but it's on page 5. I know there's some story at the top of the document telling us that it's done for our benefit, you know, to stop us being so confused, but I just want to know if this is really an A-list, or is this just like a pretend A-list with some subsections put in it so that it will make us less confused. Okay.
My understanding is that in the course of discussions, we asked the legal teams to set aside certain sections which we deemed to be problematic, or which we thought there need to be new changes, or were in change, there were proposed changes. In fact, most of the things which are in the A list or in this list would not necessarily take us a lot of time. Like your technical grammatical amendments and all of that. But also it includes parts where we asked for rebuffs. For instance, the section which you are referring to, I think we had requested that there be a redraft because we rejected that. So I think it's presented here as a new clause, and all the other clauses which are new clauses which would ask that there be a redraft, which we are going to be considering during the deliberations. So this is not, this is basically a guide for us to say what should we consider in terms of the discussions or deliberations next week. Is that fine?
Is it an A list?
That's an A list.
Section 44 that is in here. And we actually consider that as well.
Yeah, most inevitably.
Not very long. Yeah,
no, inevitably. I think what's not here was our discussions earlier this morning, which there is a proposed draft, which will then be incorporated for our consideration in the next meeting, and including yours truly's favorite 44. And now there is clause 38. Now, well, in terms of what we do from now, do we want to consider any of the sections, or do we want all those proposals to be incorporated? And we know that we've got a complete A list when we deliberate next week. My proposal is that we have all the proposals which we agreed to this morning included, including 34 and all the other things, and then we'll complete a list. And then what we'll do, obviously, is to read this. Even, well, we would obviously have the responsibility to also look at the clauses where there are no changes proposed and all that, just to make for certain purposes. So let's incorporate those that we agreed on this morning, and then we have a complete A list, and then we begin to go through all those things.
I'm not disagreeing with anything, but except that I'm not going to be complete, because there are those sections that the committee has not dealt with at all. The issue of the violence, you know, those sections. Therefore, the edit that she will draft won't be complete, because those issues have not been, unless we say they are not the only list. That's what I'm raising.
Yeah, look. That's why we are going to be using this and this, or whatever you send through to us. So we're not only going to take into consideration this list, but at least it helps us to prioritize the issues. So even on the process where he's saying no changes proposed, we'll still go back to that so that we are certain. Yeah. So those, all those issues which may not necessarily be in here, we still have to have a discussion on that, inevitably.
The would the committee agree then, not in the A list, but in that one, that we also list those standing issues, this is a document, so are they hidden?
No, everything is in here.
Thank you. I will draft the A list as requested by the committee, but I wanted to say that this is not a make-believe A list. It in fact is a one proposed A list, or was drafted proposed A list. And the committee agrees to it, we'll change that one as proposed. Amendments proposed, so still not been drafted. So when it becomes amendments agreed to, it will be all the things the committee agreed to. But what I'll do is the things that we discussed with the committee can we agree on, I'll put those in black, because all black just to give an indication as to that was already discussed with me. But if it's in grey or the thing which the committee was all undecided to take place for the later stage, that we don't have 20 documents, but it's all in one document.
Yeah. And if I think it's quite helpful if it's printed in Harlem, because if there's a reference to grey, and but everything is the same. From what we have, everything is the same, because it was photocopied. Yeah. Okay.
Gentlemen, with regard to that, they can print those new amendments or new clauses in a different font, so that photocopying doesn't become a problem. We can say, you know, you can read italics.
Let it be put in a manner which
it will be easy to reference. Yeah. Because if we start discussing fonts. Okay. Can we close on this item, and with the few minutes that we have, look at the minutes, agreed.
European Union.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
What is wrong with our minutes?
Order, order, order. Thank you.
Remember, we are something that look like a school trip. But now you sound different.
My mentor.
Okay, my I propose that we look at 22 Roman figure 1 and Roman figure 3 on the agenda. Yeah, that's draft minutes of 26 and 27 March 2013 and also the committee program 2nd September 2013. I have to be excused. The committee is still in session.
I can leave.
Yes. I have to be excused. I've been asked by the chair to attend the meeting on his behalf. Women, children, and people with disabilities. So I would be excused in about 15 minutes. Hopefully, we'll be done with the. Yeah, okay. Super. Can we look at the draft minutes of 26 and 27 March? Do we all have those minutes?
Yes.
Thank you. Page 1?
Which one?
Oh, this is 26. 27. Let's start with 26. Page 1. Raise your hand. Oh, you're asking for the minutes. Page 2. Plus 3. Many other millions.
I move for the adoption of these minutes.
Moving for the adoption of the minutes, seconded by Honourable First Aid.
Notice the AEC of the Fund of First Aid.
Thank you. Can we look into the minutes of the 27th of March, 2013, page 1?
You are the local.
Oh.
Well, the quality is the quality.
Page 1? Page 2? Plus 3, do I have a mover?
Opposed.
Honorable Fanny Rasthazen opposes. Honorable Williams seconds. No.
Minutes, yes. Was planned to be about 8 or so.
Yes.
should we consider them? And
yes.
Okay. Crossing on what day? We all have them. Yes. I'm going to start on 28th of 124. I'm going to start with those men. Okay. We have those. Okay, let's start. I've got the 8th from the 1 to 12. Starting with page 1. The person that has made my sermon has been collected there. Sending to the contact to under the table. Okay, page 2. The same problem there, like top of the words. A base station to get a funder base station.
Funder attention.
Page 3. This is the only thing about this minute. Funder attention. Page 3 of the minute. Page 5 and the 2.
And the
changes.
And the changes to the respect sets.
That should be the thing with most of the 23rd. Next page 2. So you can put a person on page 1 and then page 2. That is a different person. Okay, I have a mover.
A move there.
Honorable Motau moves. Seconded by Honorable Lai. Okay, page 1 of the minutes of the 21st.
Same correction.
Same correction, yes. Second correction is Manuela MK. MK, it's not MK, it's KD. Okay, then the proposal?
Yes.
Normally I can not propose this. Okay. William second. Page
We must release the tea for the half an hour.
See, on this thing, the two heads are just laying out. Okay? So the minutes of the 6th of March, remember? Honorable William. Honorable Hannah, your second.
I'll give you a message.
I have here 18 April, that was the next class that we have.
Too much.
Okay, page 1.
Okay.
Those changes on page 1, page 2.
There are 2 points there. The under bridge 2.1, I'm not sure whether the sentence fits well. Where they say that it pointed out that the department must forward the representation to the committee in advance in future. It doesn't sound right. Probably we just end up with in advance. Under 2.1. We should delete in future.
I think let's ask that the committee secretary rephrase that. I think the intention was to say in the future the port must be sent in advance. Just to note, and I'd like to check the attendance register for this meeting. I think I was in the meeting. But we'll just reference to the attendance register just to confirm.
The second point under 3E.
Switch it on.
Under 3E. It's issues raised, not issues raised.
3E. Yeah. Issues raised. Who are telling you?
Williams was participating in me.
It's also Williams, it's just be specific.
The one who drops me.
Page 3. Move. Honorable Tau, second. Honorable Khanada was not in the meeting. Therefore, cannot second.
I have president of the
Honorable would second the meeting. Honorable. 18th, is that the next set? 18 April, thank you. The usual changes on page 1, which is Vanathan Hazen and Manamela KB. Okay, page 2. Page 3. Latte Fira. Move
up. I wasn't there.
Except me. Move and second. Okay.
Yeah, I think I can second the move.
You, Honorable Mutta, moves.
Okay,
move.
Yeah.
Seconded by Honorable Vastason. Thank you. 24 April 2012. Page 1, same changes, MK and Honorable Vastason. People must assume that the changes will apply to all the minutes. And then page 2. Okay. What? Can we have people attended the meeting? No, we're on 24 April, right? We will note your move for the next minute. Honorable Nkemba moves, Honorable Mutau seconds the adoption. We are now on the 15th May 2012. Mutasis Mutandis, Van der Vesthuizen and MK. Okay. Page 2. Page 3. Can we have movers and shakers? Honorable Mutau moves, Honorable Hanare seconds. That's all. Okay. That's not all.
Move on. Unfortunately, it's not in what I'm proposing is that can we include this issue as a different color in the A, so that the issue is talking about grammar in certain clauses and include it in the A, so that when we discuss the complete document.
To make our lives easier,
yes. Back 2 minutes. October 9th? Okay. Page 1? No changes at all. Page 2? Page 3? Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Now, complete recording of proceedings available on the DVD members. Honorable A. Williams moves and Honorable Van der Vesthuizen seconds. The 10th of October, I suppose, in the last one?
Yeah.
Pura. Page 1. 2. Page 10. Page 4. The last page 5. Honorable Williams yawningly moves. Honorable Williams moves. Okay. Honorable Tawin.
Thank you.
We have time to look at the program.
Can I make a proposal that we look at page 2, the program for Tuesday 13th, April 2013, from 9 o'clock to 7 o'clock,
looking at the budget review, strat plan, annual performance plan of the Department of Labor. Can we just look at that part and agree or disagree on that? And then we can then, as the first item, do agree in that meeting, then adopt the entire program.
I want to disagree with the meeting of the 13th.
I second to disagree. Okay.
Chairperson, bearing in mind that we've got legislation in front of us, I think that we should meet on more than 2 days a week. So we should, when we do look at that program, we should, I mean, nowhere here does it talk about completing the legislation that's before us. It talks about other things like public hearings, training by Auditor General on important issues regarding strat plans, if you look at the whole program. So I think that we should seriously consider that nowhere in this program do we talk about legislation. There's some public hearing bits, but the rest of it, it means that we're supposed to pass the legislation we're looking at today.
Today.
So, and I also disagree with Tuesday, the 30th. I think that I'd like to second the second proposed by Gemma.
Are you disagreeing with the meeting taking place, or are you disagreeing with the topic for discussion?
Chairperson, I think that to do a budget review of the strategic plan and annual performance plan of the Department of Labor, and it's in all its entities, we shouldn't have a one-day meeting of that for a start. It's impossible. We won't complete it. And also the logic behind that. So we should move this, and it should take place over a two-day period before we have our debate on vote 18, which is taking place on the 22nd of May. And we should, a strategic workshop should take place, not just at one day, we sit around, we won't have time to engage on these documents, we'll never have time to do it, it's impossible. Thank you.
All right,
yeah.
I think even now, when we're discussing item one in today's agenda, we then said what the department is going to do is going back and prepare is something that we'll look at next meeting. So obviously this issue, that was an indication of urgency on these amendments. We're not saying the issue which was supposed to be looked at next week is not important. It is important, but I think when we look at strategic plans, we don't page and then move. We apply our mind. We need enough time because we can't discuss and listen to the presentation and engage the department and its entities on one day. That is not possible.
Yeah, and I think what I haven't seen the documents for that that are supposed to be. I've not yet seen the documents. So if other members who have
have seen them, are suggesting that we shouldn't consider the topic on Tuesday. And the proposal being that we consider it over a 2-day continuous process.
Strategic workshop.
Yeah. What are we proposing? What are we agreeing on?
Chair, for the sake of clarity, I'm proposing that we should not meet on the 30th.
Yeah,
we should not meet on the 30th because on the 1st is Workers' Day. And on Monday, I think it's holiday. So it's a holiday. Okay. Yeah, Monday is a constituency as well. So,
the whole week is supposed to be a committee.
But coming here only for one day doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It does not make sense. But I agree with the Honorable William that we need at least 2 days to deal with the topic which is suggested for that day.
Strategic workshop.
But we have to prioritize the legislation.
Okay,
so
but
look, that before
legislation or non-legislation, the debate on vote 8 in Labour is on the 22nd of May.
Yeah.
So, we whatever happens, we need to have the strategic workshop ASAP before. There is the next week, which is May Day. The May Day week. So but the only one day there is the Wednesday, which is now there's a proposal we meet on the Tuesday, which Honorable Kanada suggests that we shouldn't at all because the following day is Wednesday. But yet the Thursday and the Friday are also the commission weeks. And then there is the following week, which is the EPCs. The second and the third.
We have this
workshop. On the second of May and on the third of May. Post agreed by shake of head, Honorable Canary.
Agreed.
Thank you. So we will have a strategic workshop to consider all those things next week, and the first issue we'll consider is the problem. On that day. So the first item on the agenda is the program, and then the rest is the
presentations.
On Friday the 3rd, I first should have a meeting 3 o'clock afternoon in Township. I was just wondering whether we couldn't agree to something. Many people need to make a flight to Kingston. So shall we try and do it so that we can rise at 1 o'clock?
So
on the Friday.
Oh, on the Friday, yes.
So we have the whole of Thursday and then have the Friday. We should be done by that.
That depends how much you spend time talking.
You.
I'm going to talk a lot. In serious trouble. And the Auditor General Chairperson must be invited to this meeting.
It's the full day on Thursday.
Yeah.
And hopefully half a day on Friday. We should plan to finish by lunchtime on Friday. Yeah, from 9 to 5.
Yeah,
on Thursday.
Friday
we have a shorter time, yeah. Okay.
Jefferson, I propose also that the Auditor General's office be invited to the strategic workshop so that they can give us an overview of their audit outcomes from the department and the entities. We can get it from the horse's mouth, as opposed to the department just ignoring certain things that might have happened.
What's the horse? The age of the horse.
The age
of the horse. Okay. Proposal not rejected. Thank you. All right. Can we close the...
Can we just make sure that those members that are not present here today inform
us of this? Yes. We are cancelling the meeting of Tuesday. And therefore the meeting will be held as a strategic workshop on Thursday the
second, and Friday the third, and that will inform the members, honourable members, who mostly are comrades who are not here. Thank you. The third is up until 7
p.m.
Okay, the meeting is adjourned. Oh, yeah.